I think I'm going to start with a little children's lesson that way you'll get it. And that way, if I say something you don't get, you'll at least get the children's. Got that? So this is a Q&A with the children. What is this? It is an oak tree. That is right. It was doing a little better when I first pulled it up, but and I have a little metaphor for that. But so I found this oak tree in our flower bed along with lots of oak trees. One of the reasons I did is because this past year was a bumper crop of what? Does anybody remember what it was, a bumper? What? Yeah, JB and I got this thing going here, baby. It was a lot of acorns. All right, so where did this oak tree come from? Somebody other than JB? What? Children. What did she say? Yeah, it came from an acorn. Look in your bag and see if you've got an acorn in there. The answer is yes. All right. So that acorn that you got, I collected from around this. It's the same, from the same type of oak tree. So here's a question. What happened to the acorn to make this tree? Where's the acorn? Yes, JB. It's under the ground. So if I dug up, would I find the acorn? Why wouldn't I find the acorn? Because it's what? It sprouts. What's another a name for sprouting to make an acorn? What happened to the acorn? It what? It rose. It did rise. It rose better initially. It did. So anybody know where I'm going with this? So what's that? The acorn died to become the tree, right? It says it in the scriptures, something like that, that unless someone die, unless a grain of wheat falls in the ground, it cannot, and dies, it cannot then grow and bear fruit. It's a metaphor. We see it throughout all of creation, that God's DNA is in creation. His DNA, created in the image of the one who is the Word, is in creation. And so it would make sense that it's not a perfect example of resurrection, but it's a good example. So since I came in this morning, because I dug this up on Friday, and I saw this, I got another metaphor for you. So why do you think, JB, since you're my man here, why do you think that the leaves are withering or kind of falling down? What could cause that? Yeah, it's not in the good soil. I actually had a bunch of topsoil, and I just threw the topsoil in there. And I had another one. I realized what happened. I put good soil, but it withered too. I rooted it up, and I wasn't really careful with it. And so, but my guess is, my dendrology guys over here, that if I was to really plant it in good soil, it would probably perk up and grow. All right. So if indeed we are God's, let me stop one more time. Wednesday, I was at a funeral of a dear friend. And the minister said a beautiful word for me. He said, she believed in the resurrection, but she also believed in living a resurrected life. And I thought, I'm going to save that. For this tree to live a resurrected life, it needs good soil. It needs care. It needs room to grow. It needs what? Light. It needs sunlight. Lots of things like that. All right, so I think that's a great metaphor for Easter Sunday resurrection. I think it's a great metaphor for what we're going to be in this, in a resurrected. We believe in the resurrection of the body. Amen. We say that every Sunday. We're not just going to kind of go off. I think we'll probably go off a little bit stronger looking than that, but this is an image of what God is going to do. And unless we die to ourselves, and then we can't bear fruit, and that's fruit of kindness and mercy and those kinds of things, okay? So what do you think, children? Is that good? Got that? I'm not going to plant this. I've got way too many oak trees in my yard. So that's one. And I want to come back to that at the end because I really believe the Colossians passage speaks a little bit into that. Where I went this past week in thinking about what to share with you guys on Easter Sunday is I believe in the resurrection. I mean, it is, in fact, our funeral service is to me, that's our faith. And for any of you who are planning your funeral, please do it at the church, not at a funeral home. This is what we believe. We need to be together. That's not in my message here. But we need that. We believe in the resurrection. I am the resurrection of life, says the Lord. They that believe in me, though they die, yet shall they live. And I believe that my Redeemer liveth, and he'll stand at the latter day. And though this body be destroyed, yet shall I see God. Those are things we believe and proclaim. So with all that said, as I was looking at the scriptures, I decided to focus in on Mark. And the reason I did was we chose the scripture, the lectionary people chose to stop at verse 8. All right? And in my ESV Bible, there's a parenthesis that says, some of the earliest manuscripts do not include verses 9 through 20. All right? And just as a little quick teaching, the scriptures, all the manuscripts, we got ancient manuscripts from less than 100 years from the time that Jesus died. And some of the earlier ones of Mark stopped at this verse. And they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. End of the story. Kind of strange to me. I read a lot of books, and I love novels. And I like a book when it ended to kind of tell me what happened afterwards. I don't like it when it just kind of says, and they were afraid. We do know the rest of the story, and I'm not saying that the rest of this text is not valid, because it is. It's in our Bibles. But what in the world was going on in young Mark's mind, and whatever that first manuscript was, that ended with the women who had been told to go and tell the disciples and Peter that he had risen, he was not here, that they went out and fled, trembling in astonishment, and they said nothing to anyone. Well, we know they did say something, right? Because why else? How else could we be? Somebody said something that he was risen. And not only did somebody say something, but it changed lives. It wasn't like if you believed, then you became rich. It wasn't like if you believed, life was going to get better. If you believed, something changed inside. And thus, we're here today, ringing bells, you know. Jokingly, I'm glad the refrain to the psalm didn't have hallelujah in it. We would have been in trouble. That would have just been a wild singing. So here's what I want to say. As I looked at that, this no tightly woven ending, just they were afraid, I started thinking about it. I love the I believe. You know, it ends, the gospel actually ends with this, and they went out and preached everywhere while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the message by accompanying signs. Isn't that amazing? After he had raised, the Lord worked with them with accompanying signs, changed lives and all the various things as they went out and preached. But here we have, they were afraid. So here's something I read. The women who were faithful at the cross and two of whom were there for his burial now come on the day after the Sabbath to anoint Jesus' body. So this is what I was thinking. Who were these women? Why were they there? What is this message? And I went back and I just read one chapter before. Last week on Palm Sunday, we ended the gospel with this. Truly this man was the Son of God. Don't we like those kind of endings? But they didn't include the next verses, which said, there were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, the younger, and of Joseph and Salome. And when he was in Galilee, they followed him and ministered to him. And there were also many other women who came up with him to Jerusalem. So here's my first point. Following Jesus is a pilgrimage. It's a journey. And of those women, they'd been journeying with him for 3 years. Mary, his mother, was probably with them. So she'd been following him for birth on, conception on. Following Jesus, guys, is a pilgrimage. And that pilgrimage includes everything that went on in Jesus' life. And if you follow this group of women, they were there. They were there ministering to him during his ministry. They were there when he was arrested, if you will, and followed him. Maybe not in the garden, but they were there. They knew he'd been arrested. They were looking on when he was crucified. They saw after he was taken down, they saw where he was buried. And then they came the next day. All right. And as Jan Richardson said, they came seeking the dead, but a voice from life spoke to them. But they were afraid. So my first point is that it's a pilgrimage. There's no conditions to us following Jesus. Doesn't matter how good it gets. I mean, if life is great, you say, Lord, I got this. I don't need you anymore. Or if life is really, really hard, and you say, Lord, life is hard. I don't need this, what you're doing or not doing. No conditions. They followed him in the good and the bad. That's pretty obvious, right? The second thing I want to say is this. We see unbelief, and even in these women who were faithful. They were afraid. They were astonished. What was going on with them? So this is my simple take on that. When life is very, very difficult, I'm not going to speak about when it's good, it blinds us, but when it's very difficult, we get so focused in on taking care of what's right in front of us that what's not necessarily right in front of us or is right in front of us unexpected, we can't see it. We don't see, or let me speak for myself, I often don't see what indeed God is doing in the midst of this. They came seeking to bury Jesus, and what they found was he wasn't there. And their unbelief, if you will, or their fear, or their not expecting it, caused them to be afraid. Here's an important point. The early followers of Jesus were no different than us. Their weaknesses, their frailty, is not to be missed in these stories. Why is it not to be missed? Because I think there's something about us that wants to say, well, they were there, and thus they believed. It was hard for them. It's hard for us. It'll be hard for our children. It is hard. And as I was putting that into some kind of a container, I realized, what is it that abides forever? And Paul said, faith, hope, and love. I said, okay. If faith, hope, and love abide, and our sheer frailty and weakness makes life hard, then guess what? Faith, hope, and love is hard. It is hard to be faithful. It's hard to be hopeful. And it's hard to have the kind of love that'll get us through every situation. Amen? They have always abided, faith, hope, and love. And embracing this is constantly being challenged. So I want to end with Colossians. You guys are being amazing. These children really are. Usually when we have wonder bags, I mean, it is just noisy here. So I want to go back to the tree, all right? Colossians 3 says this. If you have been crucified, or if you died with Christ, if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. All right? So if you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above. What are the things that are above that I just mentioned? Three of them. Faith, hope, and love. All right? Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on the earth. Now, this doesn't mean dirt earth. This means things like anger and resentment. I did try to water it so it wouldn't die on me. I got it all over there. So this is what I believe for our children. This is what I believe for you. This is what I believe it is to live a resurrected life. It means we need to pour in to our life, this resurrected life, this first day of the week, new creation life, the things that will nurture and care until parents. What is that? It's worship, it's care, it's kindness, it's forgiveness, it's truth, it's all those things. So we can grow and be what God intended us to be. Then he says, for you have died and your life is hidden. Have we truly died to all these things that are just encapsulating our hurt? And have we given them up so that we can be raised to this new life? Where Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. All right? In the resurrection of Jesus, we believe our life is not only hidden, but revealed. So, amen.